Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us on this day before a snowstorm, which I'll talk more about in a second. My guest tonight is Joey Korn, who is an internationally known dowser, but he's got a whole different take on dowsing and healing and all kinds of things. I'm really looking forward to listening to what he's been working on. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing, which will be about snow, because where I am, we're about to get a whole bunch of snow. Prediction for my area is 12 to 18 inches, and if you're 2 hours east of us out towards Boston, they're going to be getting 2.5 feet. And I haven't seen that much snow in a couple of years. But, you know, what can you do? It's snow, right? It's nature. Well, there's a lot you can do, actually. Most people, when something like this is happening, watch the news and freak out. Oh, my, you know, and the news is always going, oh, my God, it's a snow. Like, there's never been a snowstorm before, and New England doesn't know how to handle a snowstorm. You know, we're all ready. The town has already notified everybody what's going to be closed and what time it's going to close. City of Boston has notified everybody. My daughter's very excited that for the first time in ages, the school, her high school, has given the notice that it's a snow day the night before. They never do that. And it also means, of course, that she doesn't have to have the stuff ready that was supposed to be ready for tomorrow, and she can relax a little bit. So, you know, everybody's getting their ducks in the row. They're getting the machines ready to plow the snow. Everything is okay. But people are going to go crazy. My joke is that there's a law in Massachusetts that every citizen, as soon as snow is announced on the radio, must go to the nearest grocery store and buy milk, bread, and eggs. And it happens every time. All it has to do is be a threat of snow flurries, and people will go to the store, and that's the stuff they'll buy. I don't know why we have to be prepared to make French toast for a snowstorm, but that's what people go and buy. But, you know, you watch the news and everybody goes, oh, it's a snowstorm. And people really get into that. And what's going on in their heads and what's going on emotionally is they get very upset about it. They get fearful about it. And what does that do? Well, what we know from the law of attraction and basic metaphysics is whatever you focus on, especially if you focus on it with a lot of emotion and repeatedly, you will get more of. So if you think things are going to be really, really bad and all kinds of terrible stuff's going to happen, you probably will get that. And then the only real payoff is that you get to be right. See, I told you that was going to happen. What else can you do, though? Well, you can see yourself and your family and your town, whatever, as being safe. Everybody is being happy. The storm being something that takes a lot of work and, you know, is not trivial, but that doesn't do a whole lot of damage. You know, everything's okay. The power doesn't go out and you just hang out and watch it all go by. If you do that, what are you likely to get? You're likely to get a day of no real consequence where it's just a snowy day and it all goes by and everything is fine. Even if something does happen, you're not upset about it in advance. So one of the things that goes on in the world as we know it is that we live in a fear soup, especially if you watch the news. Everything is a big deal. Everything is a near catastrophe. Everything is something to get emotional and upset about. And the reason that that's done is it puts you in a state in which you want things to fix stuff. And that means that the advertisements work better. You may not want to think of it that way, but advertising is about manipulating you into doing something that will give the advertiser money, whether or not you need it. And Lord knows, if you watch the commercials carefully, you wouldn't really want the stuff that they're showing you. But the reason to create fear, the reason to get people pumped up, is that it puts you in a receptive state for them to manipulate you. It also kind of messes with your immune system and your emotions and makes you attract stuff you don't want, but that's not their primary goal. When it comes to politics, getting you upset about things, it is their primary goal to use your energy, your emotion, your repeated focus to create whatever it is that the politician or the lobbyist or the organization wants you to be upset about. They literally steal your energy to act as an engine for creating what they want. Sounds like a conspiracy theory. No, it's just basic metaphysics. Whatever you focus on repeatedly with emotion, you will get more of. So I encourage you to think about what you do want, focus on what you do want, ask for what you do want. Joey's going to be talking more about asking, and enjoy what's going on instead of getting sucked into what somebody else tells you to be afraid of. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And I get to introduce my guest, Joey Korn. How are you tonight, Joey?
Doing great. Not cold. Not worried
yeah,
about
rub it,
snow.
Rub it in. You're down in Atlanta and it's warmer down there than it's been here in months. But that's just because of where we live. Joey and I know each other from conferences. We both are speakers at dowsing conventions, so we've met several times, and I've always been fascinated with your work. And you have a new book out with a revision of the methods you've been using. So before we get into your fascinating method, how in the world did you wind up doing this stuff?
I've been a passionate spiritual seeker since I was 21, and I will reveal a little bit about my age. That's almost 40 years ago. And I just have been looking, seeking passionately for everything that will help me understand more about life, about the energies of creation, the energies of life, and especially about the powers of mind and how we can use the powers of mind and our knowledge of the energies of life to create better lives for ourselves and for others. And, I did everything I heard of, read of, whatever, to do just that. And much of my inspiration, much of my understanding came through inspiration, direct inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And as the years progressed, eventually one day I went to our family lake house, which is about 20 miles outside of a town. Out of town, we don't live in Atlanta. We live in Augusta, which is a couple of hours from Atlanta.
Yep.
And we have a little family lake house that's really special to me. And the septic tank had stopped up, and sewage was backing up into the house. And I like to say, you never know what'll bring a spiritual experience. I called the repair service, and two professionals in the business looked for 2 hours to try to find the septic tank and couldn't find it. They had a rod, but it wasn't a dowsing rod. It was a T-handle iron rod they were poking in the ground. Well, they left me with no help, and I called the health department, and this nice man answered, and I explained my situation, and he said, I'll be out there, and I'll find that septic tank for you. And it was a nice old man. He came out there, and he pulled out a couple of dowsing rods.
Yeah.
And within 2 minutes, I'm telling you, 2 minutes, he found the septic tank with two pairs of bent-up coat hangers. And I was fascinated. Now, I've been wanting to learn to douse since I was a child, and I had even cut branches from willow trees in our yard, and it never seemed to work for me because I had that, accepted that myth that you saw on TV and you hear otherwise, that only certain people can douse. You have to have the gift, and if you don't have the gift, you can't even learn to douse. And right. I just figured, well, I didn't have the gift. Well, he taught me to douse, and I've been a passionate douser ever since. And since then, I have learned much about the energies of life, and I've learned that we can do much to change the energies of life by combining dowsing with prayer and blessing, especially blessing, what I call the blessing process or the simple blessing process is a particular method that I teach. And all I use to change energies is blessing. And all I use dowsing for is to find energies, determine something of their nature, whether they're in harmony with us or not, whether they're earth energies or human-related energies or electrical fields around appliances. And then I use blessing to change the energies to be ideal, to create ideal energy and environments around me, and I do that for clients, and I teach other people to do it.
And that always fascinated me because most dowsers are working very differently from the way that you do. And they do wonderful work, but I was always been fascinated with your combining a spiritual perspective and spiritual methods with using dowsing. Might be helpful for folks that may not be familiar with dowsing for you to describe what dowsing is.
Well, dowsing is a method to most people think of it as the old timer using a forked branch from a tree. They yep. walk around and the tree and the branch pulls down where at a spot which is a good place to drill a water well. And dowsing can be used for that, and I have done that kind of dowsing, and I've dowsed a few wells in my time. But dowsing, once you realize that you're not really getting these dowsing reactions to whatever tool you're using, you're not really getting dowsing reactions to the physical substance of the water or the buried treasure or the minerals or the lost object or whatever it is that you're seeking to find, that you're getting the reactions to the energy fields related to those
right.
physical substances. Then you realize...
Looks like we lost Joey, so hopefully he will realize that and call back in. So I'll talk a little bit about dowsing. Most people think that being psychic is having expanded senses, and, you know, that's the flashy stuff, you know, being able to see things or hear things or feel them in your body, whatever expansion of the physical senses and increased sensitivity that you have. But dowsing is using a biofeedback tool to get very similar kinds of results to people that have expanded senses, like psychics. The engineer tells me that Joey is back.
Yeah, what did I say something wrong?
No, you probably bumped a button on your phone or something.
I don't see how I could have just made it go dead like that, but who knows? It just went. I just got the dial tone all of a sudden.
That's totally strange. Although it sometimes happens on the studio end where something in the electronics goes weird.
That's okay. Anyway, what I was saying is once you realize that it's the energy of the whatever you're looking for that you're actually getting your dowsing reaction to, and that energy is right there in your living environment, then
yeah.
you it opens up an entire world because the world is filled with energies, all different kinds of energies. And with dowsing, what we're actually getting our various dowsing reactions to, whether it's a rod or L rods, which are L shaped pieces of wire, or Y rod, which is the Y shaped branch, or modern day equivalents, which are often made out of plastic, or any other dowsing tool, we're getting energy reactants to subtle energy fields. These subtle energy fields support all of life. They're everywhere within us and around us, but they're not even accepted by science because there's nothing that can measure them. Greg Braden says in his book, The Divine Matrix, that we know from over 100 years of science experiments that the field exists. The matrix of energies exists, connecting us to everything in the universe and to each other. And we can prove it exists, and we can manipulate the field and see the results of it, but we cannot detect the energies we cannot detect the matrix. And he says it's because we don't have sensitive enough instruments to detect these subtle energies. We do. Dowsing tools, especially right. Dowsing L-rods, dowsing rods that are shaped like L's. I like to use two of them. They'll either open to point in opposite directions or cross, or for some things, they even both turn the same way to give you direction if you use two of them. And it's an amazing tool to tune into these energies that you can't see, that we're not really fully aware of, but we are aware of in other ways. When you go into a place or you're around a person that just makes you feel good, those are subtle, beneficial, subtle energies that are in harmony with us that make us feel that way. When you go into another place or be with another person that you don't feel good and you feel withdrawn or you just, yuck, those are what we might call detrimental or subtle energies or energies that are out of harmony with us. And we can explore this world of subtle energies, this invisible world, with dowsing. And that's what fascinated me from the beginning. When after that guy taught me how to douse, I wanted to just, my first question was, on my own, was not, how do I learn to find more sewer pipes or more underground water? My question was, what all can I get dowsing reactions to? And I right. just began walking around dowsing and seeking reactions and trying to figure out what I was getting reactions to. And I began exploring. And it's a wonderful world. It's uncharted territory. And we as dowsers don't really know what it is we're finding. We can only guesstimate. We can only, we can only use our thinking process and our practical and our techniques and everything to try to define what it is we're finding. And what I think we're finding is quite different from most dowsers, most dowsers think, especially in the realm of what you specialize in space clearing and house cleaning.
Right.
And I have a totally different take on that than almost any other dowser out there or any other people who do any kind of space clearing type work.
And that's going to be the exciting part of our conversation, so go for it.
Well, most people, everybody's heard of that bad energy or negative energy. And that, boy, that person's got a lot of negative energy there's a lot of negative energy in that house or that place. And first of all, I don't like to use the term negative to mean detrimental or unharmonious or unbalanced, because positive and negative to me is more like electricity.
Right.
So it's not good nor bad. You wouldn't say electricity is bad, but it's both. You got to have the negative to make the positive work, right? To make the electricity work, and electricity can kill you, but it does so much good for us if it's used properly and treated with respect. Positive and negative in the energy, every energy field has positive and negative energy in it. What I look for is energy that's out of harmony with our energy that weakens us. And people, dowsers, and not only dowsers, let's say, feng shui practitioners, anybody who does any kind of space clearing kind of work, they believe that there are these energies that are in the earth perform a function in the earth. They're earth energies that serve a function in nature, but that somehow if these earth energies are in our homes, especially around our beds or other places we spend a lot of time, it's considered that they weaken us, weaken our immune system. They can cause illness, even cancer, even death. They can cause mental problems, emotional problems, relationship problems, financial problems. And we look outside of ourselves for the cause of our problems. And something, you know, sort of what you were talking about earlier, is like the attraction. You know, what people are always, dowsers and people who use dowsing or use dowsers are in this idea of defend me from these harmful energies. And I think the earth energies are here to support us. They're always supporting us. They're our energetic mirrors, which fits beautifully into modern-day physics. And they're constantly reflecting us back to us. They connect us with each other. They connect us with everything in the universe. But in our homes especially, they're constantly reflecting us back to us. So, yes, if somebody is ill or somebody is really in a bad state where they're divorced and in fighting with the ex over the kids, or they're in financial ruin and they're about to lose their home, or any of those things, yeah, a dowser will go into their homes and they will find, he or she will find lots of detrimental energies. And they'll think, ah, the energies were here first. They assume the energies were here first, and they say, ah, that's why you're having all these problems. And they do things, use techniques to block, neutralize, or send away these energies, clear them away. And I say, yeah, of course the energies in that person's home or those people's homes will be detrimental, because we make the energies around us detrimental or out of balance with our imbalances in life, with our fears, our anger, our frustration, our feelings of overwhelm, of jealousy, of vengeance. And all these negative emotions are like negative blessings. We really are like blessing beings. We are changing the energies we vibrate at every moment of every day with every changing focus of thought and emotion, and that changes the energies around us, because, again, those energies are reflecting us back to us. And so that's, you know, sort of my take on it. And so, dowsers do many things, and I respect many of these dowsers. Don't get me wrong. Many of these rituals and techniques work. They might hammer rods into the ground, into the flow of these energies. They might put crystals around the home or wire around the house, and use various kind of methods and remedies and cures. And all of these tend to work, at least for a while. But I think that's because we're indirectly manipulating the energies of the people. Right. The energies of our homes are really extensions and reflections of ourselves. And when you're down walking around, this is fully my opinion, when you're walking, and from my experience of many years, I've been doing this work full-time since 97, when you walk around dowsing in somebody's home, experiencing the various kinds of energies in the home, you're really walking around inside the energies of the people themselves that live in those homes and might happen to be energetically imprinted in or connected to those homes. Might be friends or family members from outside the home that have left imprints of their energies there. And it's like the macrocosm of the energies within us.
Right.
And I find if we simply take the time to balance our own, it's not just time, take the method, and I use blessing, to balance our own energies. If you balance the energies of the people who live in the home with blessings for healing and balance, then it will immediately balance all the energies of the home for the most part.
Yeah,
there can be outside influences.
We're going to pick up with that
after the break, and I'll give you my take on it, which is not very different from yours, which might surprise you. And then I want to hear about the blessing process. We're here with Joey Korn. We'll talk a little bit about the revision of his new book. Joey's website is Dowsers, Dowsers.com. And fascinating guy that does amazing work. So we will be back with him after the break here on the Farkas Files. Stay with us.
Lost a cat, and have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where's the little guy? In school?
Yep, just dropped him off. Is your hair getting whiter, or is that paint?
Actually, I'm painting your old room.
Did you take down my David Cassidy posters?
Nah, I painted over them.
Dad!
Just kidding.
Why were you painting my old room?
You had a purple room.
Moby Grape.
Well, your mom and I are upsizing. We're hosting a foreign exchange student from Cairo.
What about me and your grandson?
Come on, it'll be a great experience for everybody.
We'll never see you. You'll be taking her to the museum and the zoo and...
Sweetheart, you know how great it'll be for my grandson to experience another culture. He could learn another language, new customs.
I never thought of that. Got an extra paintbrush?
The time is now. Open up your life. Find out how to have a foreign exchange student live with you. Every family has something special to share. Go to hoststudents.org. That's hoststudents.org.
Imagine my grandson speaking Arabic.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Joey Korn, dowser who does spiritual dowsing. For some reason tonight, I didn't mention that you can communicate with us, send your comments and questions to us through Twitter. So you can go to @FarkasFiles, or you can use the hashtag #FarkasFiles, and it will magically show up on my computer screen while we're talking, and we can answer your questions during the show. How cool is that? So, Joey, you were talking about...
Hey, I got to stop you. That was funny, that cat magnet.
I hear these over and over again, and I've got a chat window open with the engineer, and we're doing the lines before they show up in the commercials. So.
That is so funny. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and if you grew up watching Lassie, the Sassy commercials are hysterical.
I did. But I was still thinking about the cat magnet.
Yep, that's another satisfied cat. So you were talking about the energies of a place and how they're a reflection of the energy of the people in the space. And I totally agree. I work that way as well. The one thing I would add to that is that it's also the energy of all the people that have been in that space historically.
That's true. That's the ones more recently and that still have a reason to energetically be there. But that's true.
Right. Well, I would also add that the reason that those people wound up in that house is that they have a resonance with the emotional energies that were left behind during the history of the house.
I'm with you 100%. For example,
until all of that is cleared, there will be a repeating of whatever that trauma was, whatever that historical emotional process was.
That you're right. You're absolutely correct. You know, real estate, long-term real estate salespeople know about. For example, divorce houses and death houses, like everybody moves in that house, buys that house, lives in that house, ends up in divorce or ends up dying.
Right.
And that energy is still there. And I think if that's something that you need to experience, you're attracted to it. It's that law of attraction. And it can definitely all be cleared. It can definitely be cleared.
Absolutely. And which is when we get into the juicy part of our conversation that I've been waiting for, which is your, as you call it, simple blessing process.
Right.
And one of the things that always occurs to me when I listen to your stuff, I know that some of your process is taken from Judaism and various things connected to that, including the Kabbalah. One of the things in Judaism is blessing. There are blessings for everything.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably what guided me along the blessing process. That's not what guided me. You know, I didn't bring Kabbalah into my work consciously. I didn't knowingly say, oh, here's something in Kabbalah I'm going to use. But I found something in my work that was a direct tie to Kabbalah, or Kabbalah, and it led me to learn more about what I was finding, and more, which meant I needed to learn more about Kabbalah or Kabbalah, and I guess that's part of.
One of the things for me in Judaism with all the blessings is they always, the first thing you do in the blessing is you bless God.
You praise God, right?
You know, you say that God is blessed, so that it's the human being that's blessing God, not the other way around, which shows the power that we really have and the power behind your blessing process. So let's hear more about that.
You know, and it's even taught that God speaks through us, that God is within each of us and motivates each of us and speaks and sees through each of us. And, you know, there's even the prayer in the daily prayers that Orthodox Jews do that I'm not totally familiar with, but there's a portion in it where it says, open my mouth so that I may sing you praise or something like that.
Yep.
And that's like a powerful thing just to think about, you know, that here, okay, God is opening my mouth in order to praise God.
Right.
And, blessing is important in Judaism, and that's probably what led me through that process. When I wanted to change energies, I did all the manipulation things that I'd learned from other dowsers for quite a while, and then it occurred to me one day that I could do it. I could do it through my intent, but I didn't call it that. I did it through a blessing. And mm-hmm. somehow this blessing was given to me immediately. And as time went on, for example, as my book sort of evolves chronologically, as I progress, you follow my journey through my evolution of endowsing and energy work when you go through the book. And my blessings got longer and longer and longer. I learned that you could immediately change the energies, make them beneficial with blessing. You didn't have to hammer the rod into the ground or these other things, and right. or these other techniques. And my blessings got more longer and longer and longer as I got put more and more intent into them. But then ultimately, people love my blessing work, and they love my blessings, and they learned them, they memorized them, and they used them. But in time, I found that they were not appropriately used. In other words, they had changed my blessings. I could tell. Right. That the energy, the blessings over themselves for healing and balance wasn't balancing their energy patterns. And that's something that's also sort of unique to my work. And that I found this pattern of energies that's around each of us. And we can learn to find imbalances or balances in our pattern. To me, that energy, those imbalances in our energy patterns are at the heart of all the geopathic stress, all the energies in our homes. And I realized that they're saying my blessings are what they thought they were, and it wasn't balancing their patterns. I would get them to say the blessings out loud, and they had always inadvertently changed the blessings in ways that deactivated them, that they didn't work. And so right. one day after, I said, I got to do something about this. And spontaneously on the phone with a client, with a remote client, I just conceived the simple blessing process. It has five parts. Part one is address the divine in some way. And then part two is, and I say dear God, by the way, but any way you feel comfortable addressing the divine. In the book, I call on the powers of nature. I'm not praying to the powers of nature, but I call on the powers of nature. But address mm-hmm. the divine in some way. And then ask to be blessed or charged with energy is the second part of the simple blessing process. The third part is to define what kind of energy you want to be blessed with or charged with. We are, as I said earlier, blessing beings. When we ask something to be blessed, we have this ability, and it's immediately charged with energy. But then you want to define what kind of energy you want to be blessed with. You can bless an object, a person, or even space. You can bless your food or water. And you can just say, bless me, and you'll be blessed, but you want to be, or bless you, and that person will be blessed. But you want to be blessed, you want to define it a little bit. So the third part is I like to use the general method or general intention of to bring healing and balance to my complete being or his complete being or her complete being physically, think of the physical body, emotionally, think of the emotions, mentally, and spiritually. And the fourth part is an expression of gratitude. That's for us. Thank you. Simple enough, that'll do it. And the fifth part is close the blessing in some way. And I like to use amen. This is all on my website at dowsers.com. Now, if you just use that simple blessing process, you can add to it anything you want to do. You want to add. So after you say physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, that immediately balances your human energy pattern and all the energies in your home that are directly related to you. And then you can say, and then especially to help me bring more money into my life, help me know what to do to get a better job or to find a balanced mate or to whatever it is that you want to do. Whether it's some menial little task or some major thing you want to accomplish. And it really works. And if you balance, again, if you say the simple blessing process over all the people in your home, the great majority of the time, unless there's, as I said from the beginning and as you pointed out, unless there's outside influence from other people who might be imprinted in your home and still affecting the energies of your home, for the majority of the time, the energies of the home will just come into balance.
I know
that doesn't last. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's just mental clearing. It won't last. Well, the reason it doesn't last is because I call a blessing for healing and balance a spiritual aspirin. It'll ease the pain. It'll balance the imbalances for a while. But until you get to the cause of those imbalances, until you get to the source of the issues in your life and change your thinking about those issues and start resolving those issues, those imbalances are going to keep returning. And it doesn't take long for that to happen. That's why I want people to bless themselves often. However, we can resolve our issues. When you bless yourself, not only does it balance your energy pattern, it helps you make more appropriate have more appropriate mental and emotional responses to your issues in life, to your day-to-day interactions with others, and it helps you resolve your issues. As you resolve your issues, you become more and more balanced, and you become more and more successful in your life. That's what we're here for. Our issues are how we meet, attacking our issues, resolving our issues are how we're constantly meeting our karma at the cutting edge. And because we draw all this stuff to us. That's sort of my take on it.
Right, right. And, I think it was Zig Ziglar that said this stuff is like using deodorant or taking a shower. You can't do it once. Got to do it all the time.
You just got to grind.
So,
you got to keep blessing and keep blessing and right. Keep working at it. You can't just ask God to fix your problems for you. Now, yeah, he'll balance it, he, she, it. And I don't like to say that too fast.
Right.
whatever God is will
right.
change things immediately. But it's not like there's this being. See, this is what... It's not like they're this being sitting there waiting for us to say just the right words and just the right way. Our Creator has created us and placed us in this ever-creating world under a set of just universal laws that we can engage with our intent. And that's what we have this ability to engage these universal laws or to break these universal laws. And so when we engage, that's what I teach people to do. In fact, Empower Radio is a great name for a radio station that teaches what I teach, because I empower others. I empower others to just take more control over their lives. And even when you feel totally out of control, you can control your reaction to your life. And I consider a negative thought an action or emotion, a negative blessing. It has the exact opposite effect on the energies within us and around us as a positively stated blessing.
Right. Right. And it's the difference in other traditions. They would call those negative thoughts, especially if they're intentional, either spells or curses.
Right, right. You can
it's an intention to make a change against someone's free will, or an intention to do harm.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about just day-to-day life of the average person.
Yeah, but people do it all day.
When
they don't realize they're doing it. They don't realize
they're doing it. For example, people fear EMF.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a chapter in my new chapter in my book called Using EMF to Improve Your Life. Electrical field around every appliance has a subtle counterpart to the physical electrical field that can be measured with a meter. That subtle field creates a vortex that can be measured or detected with dowsing tools. Yes, it's detrimental right out of the box. It'll weaken you if you muscle test and you're standing in that energy field. But you can, with a blessing, make it beneficial. And what's interesting about it is it'll stay beneficial, David. I don't know if you've tried this.
Right. Well, I've done a process with microwave ovens for years, and I do it for friends as well. It's a little more complicated in the structure of how I do it than the blessing, but I tried the blessing, and it works just as well. But it's a communication with, whether you see it as a communication with the energy field or a communication acknowledging that the field exists and asking to interact with it. But I totally get it. I've seen that all the time.
With the blessing, you imbue the field with energy. You charge it with energy that you define with your intent. You can even use an electrical field that radiates from your cell phone to help you resolve an issue in your life or to help you achieve a goal.
It's just energy. It's just energy. And I love what you say in the book about being able to bless all the energy fields of all the equipment in your house or at your desk or whatever portion of the electronics and electrical equipment that you want to. And it's just done. And then it's beneficial to you in whatever way you've chosen.
Once you build that confidence that you can do it, and if you can adequately spread your intent through all your entire home and define the energy fields that you want to bless that are related to all the electrical appliances, they become beneficial. And what's cool is you can judge that. You can tell this by dowsing and by muscle testing. It'll strengthen you rather than weaken you. You can unplug the device and plug it back in, and it's still beneficial. It's just pretty amazing to me. That's the only energy, by the way, David, that doesn't respond directly to us. All those other subtle energy fields in our home, all the earth energies, all the energies related to underground water and what people call energy lays or noxious rays if they're detrimental, or Hartman grid lines or Curry grid lines, all these energy, natural energies in our homes, they are constantly reflecting us back to us. The electrical fields don't change unless we cause them to change.
Right.
And that's what's sort of good about them. They don't change. They don't become detrimental automatically in response to us. You can put your intent to make them beneficial, and they'll keep that charge even if you get negative again. But it's sort of like you were saying at the end of the introduction of our program, this fear thing. People are taught to fear EMF. Well, if you fear the radiation from your cell phone, what are you doing but charging it with fear?
Right.
If you think it's harming you, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And there's actually medical science behind that as well. They've studied not only the placebo effect, but the negative placebo effect, which they call the nocebo. And you can focus on, or a doctor can tell you that something is going to be bad for you.
And it will be.
And they've done hard science in the same way with pills that have no effect. And instead of saying this is good for you and getting a placebo effect, they get detrimental effects. Well, this has this really horrible side effect, but the people will get the side effect. So it's not just conjecture and something, that folks like us have come up with. There's hard science. So,
and that's one thing, a lot of dowsers would like dowsing to be scientifically validated, and a lot of dowsers wish they don't want that. But I would love it. I would love to have this electric. I would love to have this meter, any kind of gauge or meter or device that would detect the energies that we can detect with dowsing without human involvement, like with a dowsing tool.
Right.
If we could develop a device that would detect the energies that I can teach people to find and that will detect the differences in those energies after we change it with blessing, it could be like a bridge between science and religion or science and spirituality. And that's what we're all looking for. We want to prove this stuff.
Right.
We want to prove spirituality, spiritual beliefs and things. But, another thing is, for some reason, I think God doesn't want to be proven.
Well,
whenever
you know,
I try to do any kind of double blind
thing. This is a much
thing.
Longer conversation that I've gotten into in bits and pieces with other guests about how the split occurred between the church and science, which basically was a way for science to move forward without the church attacking it. But also that there is hard science that's been done for the last 70 years, but it hasn't been done primarily in the United States. There are a few people doing it in the United States. Most of it's been done in the former Soviet Union, Russia, and China. So we don't have access to it. I did David Wilcock did a long program at Dowsing Convention where he brought all the stuff from Russia back. It was fascinating. And so there is the beginning of being able to take those measurements. It's just there are so few people that know about it. Everybody thinks it's impossible. So we'll get there.
Yeah, I'd love to use to have access to that device that he was talking about. That was something.
Hey, Joey, we're running out of time, and of course we are because there's so much to talk about. I hope you'll come back another time.
I'll be glad to.
Joey's.
I'd like to mention that we have retreats in our home 4 times a year. This year it'll be 5 times. You come here and you learn my stuff and you eat with us, you stay with us. We feed you 3 delicious meals, home-cooked meals every day, tailored to the likes and dislikes of each group. I also offer my remote services. I can connect to the energies of any place in the world and help the people change the energies there.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
It's been a delight being on your show, David.
And your website is dowsers.com, and your book in its new revision is Dowsing, A Path to Enlightenment, which I recommend to everybody. It's a fascinating, fascinating book. Hey, Joey, thank you so much for being here. Let's keep in touch and let's do this again.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Thanks
so much, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's just wonderful information, and I hope you'll sit with it for a little while and realize just how much power you have right this minute to change what's going on inside you and around you with Joey's process. It's just amazing work. If you'd like to hear more about my work, shameless self-promotion here, you can go to househealing.com, and on the contact page, you'll find every conceivable technology to get in touch with me, including I do a 20-minute complimentary assessment and reading to see what's going on with whatever you have an issue with, your house, personal issues, business situations, and see how my work might be helpful, give you an idea of what's going on. That's free, and there's a link to my online scheduling calendar, so you can set up a phone appointment really easily. So if that's of interest to you, please get in touch with me. This show for me is just a lot of fun. I just enjoy the people, and I hope you enjoy them as much as I do as well. Next week, we're going to have Cynthia Sue Larson. And this is a fascinating story of serendipity. Twitter sent me a message that said, you might be interested in following this person. And I went to her website and I went, holy mackerel, she should be on the show. And I sent her an email and she said she'd love to. So we will be hearing about Cynthia's work. And I only met her last week. So the world is an interesting place and things are connected in interesting ways. I hope you'll be with us next week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed part of the show or you want to listen to it again or know someone who would like to listen, you can do that at empowerradio.com. You can find the archive at thefarkasfiles.com. And we are also podcasted. You can find us on iTunes. So until next week, please enjoy the blessing process and use it. And we will see you again soon. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio.